in life for free. But you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money.
Hello, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. He's AV on the board. S&P futures down 8.25 after a big down day yesterday. Dow down another 92, and NASDAQ futures down 28. Oil is up 9 cents. We have the president over in NATO, and he's already causing some problems. He said he thinks that the China trade deal will make it, it'll be done if he wants it to. Okay. Well, it's nice to know that. And he thinks it might be better off till after the election, which is also interesting. And he claims that he's also... Audrey, how are you?
Good morning. Just fine. How are you guys?
We're doing good. A little breezy downtown this morning, but we made it. At least it wasn't raining, you know, like last week.
It's just great skies forever.
I think this Angelica Lysenko is very unlucky weather-wise. Whenever she comes in with me, it's windy as hell. I think it's all her. What do you think?
No, it's never the woman's fault. You know that.
I was mentioning to her how I was beset by, 8 females on Saturday until Eddie showed up. I was on my own.
You loved every minute of it.
Even the poodle didn't help, that guy. I'd had a bunch of her friends over on Saturday and a lot of real estate ladies and ladies that are in mortgage and stuff, bright group, had a nice time.
And you cooked for us. That was lovely.
Yeah, as long as you got me working for you, you guys are loving it.
Yeah, you brought wine and cooked. It was wonderful.
Don't forget the shrimp.
And the shrimp.
Yes. So, and I even go to the Restaurant Depot to get the stuff from the Gulf and not the stuff from Vietnam, you know?
I appreciate you got me nothing but the best.
Well, I don't want you guys feeding on stuff that's feeding on chicken poop or whatever they do over in Vietnam. Just saying.
That's right. Besides, you like being the fox in the hen house anyway.
Sort of. That's a nice group. Sort of. It's a nice group. Anyway, it was interesting. A lot of the conversation was about real estate and so forth, so I figured I'd ask you to come on. The politics over NATO, I guess we can read that as we go. because evidently Trump and the French guy aren't exactly buddies these days. Because only Trump...
No, I don't think he ever was that big on... Well, the French people always go back and forth. Yeah, now, oh my God, we're going to tax the wine and cheese and luggage. What are we going to do?
I know. It's a very 100% thing on tariff on champagne and cheese. I don't know. It's a very strange world. The poor guy who owns who imports the Irish butter, he managed to get to what, the third or fourth biggest butter, the Gaelic? Is it garlic? Whatever the guy has, it's some kind of flavored butter. I've never tried it.
It's spreadable butter. It's really good. I think it's Kerry butter. Anyway, Costco's got it. It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, they're trying to slap a 50% tariff on that guy, and he's not real happy about it, as you can imagine. And we'll say that he's paying it, even though he's not, but that's another issue. Hey, what's the, as you round into the end of the year on the real estate market, we've had a gentleman from Credit Union One on a couple times talking about the mortgage market, and it's kind of complicated. I mean, because I was stuff that you tell me, I was using that, you know, obviously as my base of knowledge for what those guys are doing, and it's pretty interesting with the jumbos and all the different places you guys have to go for mortgages, and you're. The real estate agent is more involved in that than they used to be, right, pretty much?
Well, you have to be aware of what's going on out in the world now and what's best for your client, and you have to be knowledgeable about the products and where to go and who's doing a good job, and most good agents that I know have their favorite people in anything that they can trust and that does a good job for them, whether it's going to be your mortgage broker, your inspectors, your attorneys. It's one of those things where you need everybody good on your team. The team might change at every deal, but if you need good people to bring things to a successful conclusion. If everything goes as it's supposed to, the client should never know half of the things that go on before we get their deal closed.
Well, there really are a lot of people involved. I mean, you wouldn't think to. I mean, you buy a car, you buy the car, right? You buy a house.
Well, you buy a lot. I mean, with every new deal, I figure that I pick up 6 to 8 new best friend for 60 to 90 days, depending on what's going on. Is you've got buyers and sellers on each side, two attorneys, and a home inspector, and a mortgage broker, and maybe then you've got your appraisers, and you've got your termite inspectors, and maybe a bureau dot in Chicago, maybe a well inspector. And so, yeah, I mean, you've got a whole bunch of people, 6 to 8 people for each deal that you have to make happy and juggle and all to make a successful deal conclusion.
Do you have to do a radon thing everywhere now?
You don't have to do a radon. It's an optional thing, but it's a law that it must be disclosed to a buyer that if they want a radon, they can have one. It's at their expense. And the seller must cannot stand in their way. They have to allow them to do it. But it's something that it is an option at the buyer's discretion.
The people that end up having to do something to get rid of the, well, you don't get rid of it. You end up essentially venting it out. But are there any sections where you can predict? I mean, one guy in a block can have it, not another guy, right? It's totally random.
It depends. It tends to, it'll be dominant in more areas than the others. Depends, you know, it's pockets in the earth, so it depends where it's coming to the surface.
It's
a different area. So it comes up in different areas, so there's one house might have it, five might have it, then another one next door might not. So there is no true way about testing, but it's something that until houses became more well-built and more energy efficient, they also became more buttoned up and more, while they're energy efficient, there was less air exchange. So back when we were growing up, you open the windows and houses were leaky and drafty, it wasn't a problem because it did vent. But now that our things are contained, if you've got that crack in the basement or foundation where it actually comes in, it's a naturally occurring substance to earth. It's not a problem unless it's contained and you're breathing it in. So people do check for it, and if they do find it, then it is the seller's obligation to mitigate that. And it'll run maybe $1,000 to $1,500 a house, depending on what the problem is.
Well, the a lot of what, like you say, one man's leak is another man's vent, right?
Yeah, so that's exactly it. And it is something that you can't not fix it. Let's put it that way. So if you, but everybody should know, because it is one of the a big causer of lung cancer. You know, it's a very odorless, colorless gas. You don't know that it's coming through. So a lot of times, if you see cracks, especially in a basement, one of the inspectors was telling me anything that's more than an eighth big, you know, it's something an eighth of an inch wide, something they should pay attention to for sure. But anyway, it's not a big thing. It's not a cheap test. You know, it's probably anywhere, depending who you're having do it, $200 to $400 maybe.
Well, it's sort of interesting,
especially if you have small children. Parents are usually very concerned about that.
It's sort of interesting that when you buy some place for, you know, some huge money, you know, obviously if you're paying, you know, $2 million for some shack, you would think you'd have all kinds of people involved, but it is amazing. Like you're saying, there's like 7 people involved with like a $60,000 condo when you can buy a car to cost more than that. It takes you 2 minutes.
Well, you know, it's just like anything else, everything has become more complicated. So the paperwork has, of course, become more. And by the time you plow through the paperwork and make everything happy and satisfy the various rules and regulations, you've, you know, created a need for more people involved. Nothing is simple anymore.
Well, the more people, the rules and regulations, they all come from the federal government, or where do they come from?
Most of it stems from the government, federal or state.
Is that because
who say they're watching out for us? But, yeah. You know how that is.
Well, so is that's if you go get a jumbo loan and Fannie and Freddie's not involved, you still have all that paperwork?
Yes, there's still papers. It's still the same laws, rules, regulations. You still have to go through the same mortgage requirements because they are basically the same across the board. So, you know, you might not have to have private mortgage insurance when you've got a big down payment. So, but basically, you're going to fulfill the same requirements as far as your income documentation.
Does any of the
things need to close?
Is any of the rent not owned phenomenon that's sweeping the downtown area affecting any of the stuff in the miners? There's not a whole. Well, I guess there are quite a few condominiums and townhomes in your area. But is any of this phenomenon? In Southsiders have a different view of the world, obviously, but Is that phenomenon starting out your way or not?
I don't think that. I think what you like to call that is, I think it's reached its peak almost. I think you're going to be seeing downtown as the millennials age, as they've come out of the basement, gotten jobs. They're going to start aging into the point where a $3,000 one-bedroom apartment downtown is not going to be practical after you've gotten married, had a kid, and all of a sudden, well, you know, now we can't afford the $5,000 or $6,000 a month apartment. You know, it's still, and I'm at this point in time, it's still cheaper to buy something with a cheap interest rate than it is to rent it. I mean, it's starting to change. Where I believe in the next year or so, I think this is the start. It's going to continue for that generation, which I think is going to propel the market. That people are just going to. They're going to just evolve, become adults, so they're going to buy something. You know, as long as you'll see people getting better jobs now, to that market that can afford the $2,000-$4,000 a month one bedroom apartment is not going to keep throwing their money away on rent. They're going to buy something, and then grow up. I mean, that's what's always happened, no matter what people say. It is still your future, your security, your children's future, to own a piece of the land that you live on.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I'm just, what you mentioned though earlier in the show is how the transaction itself has gotten so complicated. I can sort of understand that the phenomenon 15 years ago, if I had a daughter and she was heading downtown to work in her first job and I wanted her in a nice place, I might say, well, gee, these condos are doing pretty good. I'll just buy one, you know, assuming I had the dough. I'll just buy one and, you know, when she leaves, I'll sell it. I'll probably make a few bucks and blah blah blah. Well, that didn't happen. So what I'm saying is, when the phenomenon now, you're describing a time frame of kids and grandkids and retiring in the place. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's anybody going to argue with you that person still wants to own.
I'm just saying it's the same cycle. It was delayed from the recession. People were afraid for a while. And homes have not gone back to that pre-recession deal in most places. But people are still going to live somewhere, and they're not going to not want security in the future. It's just kind of human nature.
Well, yeah, what I'm saying is, if you the transaction has gotten seemingly to the point where if I know it's a 3-year deal and I'm out, the transaction is pretty tough to do in 3 years, in and out.
But I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm saying if I know I'm going to buy the condo, and hopefully my daughter or son are going to find someone to get the hell out of there in 3 years, to buy and then with the object of selling in 2 or 3 years is becoming a little more onerous.
Oh, yeah. I don't think people, some of the clients I've had that do that, they buy it, say, downtown Chicago, their kids go in the Northwestern, whatever. They will buy it with the idea the kids are there, and then that might be their getaway for the weekend after that, or they're possibly their retirement home.
That's true.
Or they're going to rent it out for income. So they're usually not buying it just with the kid in mind, unless the kid is going to say, wow, I'm going to live in Chicago and I'm going to live here, and then take it over. So you might have one of 3 or 4 scenarios where they're looking to invest. So you've got somebody who's maybe buying it for a rental after the kid's gone, giving it to the kid or selling it to the kid, or keeping it for themselves.
Or you could have a child that has the wife and 4 kids and they're still in your one bedroom.
That's true.
Hopefully you could have
done. Only if you're living in a foreign country, as far as I know.
Hopefully you would disown that child early in life. Anyway, so what's the market look like? You're busier than you've ever been in December that I could see.
It's been very busy, and right now what I have is kind of getting wrapped up. I've got a few new ones coming down in the pipeline, but at this point, a lot of times people are still out looking. It's busy because, again, there's still not enough in my area, not enough supply to meet the demand. Things that are priced right are going, and people are actively out looking. So I think it's going to be, if you don't get extreme cold and several feet of snow, I think it's actually going to be a consistently busy winter into the spring.
What's the demographic? That
just because the jobs are good, the interest rates are good, and people are looking.
What's the demographic? Is it, I know that your recent ones, as you were mentioning to me this weekend, are combination of a couple older people downsizing and a couple younger people upsizing kind of all in the same time, and you're kind of putting them all together, which is, you know.
Yeah, I've got three interesting ones. I have a lovely lady who I've moved before who now is in her 80s and decided that living in the condo alone was too isolating for her, and she moved herself to a beautiful assisted living facility, and she's happy. So we're moving her out of there. And then I have a young couple that's buying their first condo. And then I have a client, people in their 60s who are moving out of Chicago into a townhouse and getting away from yard work and want something that's easier and close to a metro train. So there's everybody, there's a little bit of everything going on.
Well, a lot of people, the people who work downtown still want to be close to that train, right?
Well, I think a lot of people do. There's, nothing like the convenience if you're a regular commuter to walk out the door with your coffee cup and hop on the train versus driving to the train or the parking lot. But again, some people, it's whatever doesn't bother most people. A lot of people don't mind. They want their acre, 2, 10 of land. They don't mind a 5 or 10 minute drive to a train, hop in their parking spot and get on. And other people prefer the convenience of a walk-to location. We have a lot of each of that out here. I personally probably live less than 2 minutes from a metro train, but I also live at a beautiful wooded area, so it's kind of like the best of both worlds. You've got peace and quiet, but you could be close to everything else within 2 to 5 minutes.
Well, downtown Orleans had quite the regeneration with the condos and the homes with the train station being all expanded and everything.
Oh, I think that it's great. I mean, I'm really interested. I want to see what they have done with the post office. I always thought that would have been an excellent live-work-retail combination. So it'd be nice to see them do something with that.
How much work are you doing downtown these days? I mean, in Chicago, you were doing a lot for a while.
Yeah, not a lot right now. A lot of that comes from former clients or actually from some people on the trading floor that I had known then. But a lot of my work was Southwest, West, St. Charles, out. They had a couple southwestern suburbs. So it's nice to get into different areas. You see what's going on. I will only work in an area where I know I can help a client understand that I've lived in different areas around the Chicagoland area. So we've got an amazing variety of housing here. We're very lucky. People don't realize that we've got something for everybody. I mean, you've got sophistication in the city. If you want a horse, you could. Less than 25 miles from downtown Chicago, you can have horse property. You want someplace you could have pets. You want to be in the suburbs and hop on a train. You want to walk to your shopping. It's amazing the variety of housing in the Chicago metropolitan area.
I'm getting a text from some of our buddies that the police chief Johnson was drinking in the Ceres Cafe or spot before he was.
What a lovely man! I feel so bad for him.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
I'm thinking the mayor has just kind of committed political career suicide, but I
you
could be
so?
Wrong.
I don't know, a lot of people were supporting her, but whatever. Well, you never know. She's in charge, so people are going to. It's
just because you could be king doesn't mean you don't get overthrown somehow.
Well, he's not the first person.
I just don't think it was a smart political or career move.
Well,
at all.
You think?
And I think he is a very, I think he was a wonderful, wonderful public servant who put in a stellar career. And I think that was not maybe the smartest, nicest, wisest thing to do. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So you think he's the first guy to get trashed in the series, being there 3 hours?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But somebody wasn't.
All I can say is what a lovely man and not a thing that I think that. She's going to look back on it as her finest hour. That's what I'm
saying. How does he not have a driver?
Well, you know what? Who knows? You know, everybody's got a story, and
yeah.
I feel very, very bad for him. I just thought I thought he did a stellar job. I know the policemen looked up to him. I didn't hear all the police that I have talked to, you know, thought he was a really good boss. So I just feel bad, and I just don't think it was her smartest move. That sets off a lot of chain reactions in Chicago that people don't think about.
Well, time will tell. We'll see on that. But what are our interest rates? Are you watching this 10-year rate? What kind of trepidation has been creeping up solidly for the last 3-4 weeks? Are you seeing the mortgage rates go up, or have they been holding steady?
Yeah, they've been ticking. They've been ticking around. I did not see what they were the last couple of days. But, you know, things are hovering right around 4. They change quickly. I mean, I had a client looking to lock in, and we went from 3.65 to 3.99 and back and forth. I'm like, heck, if they got to lock it already before it goes up, you know, over that. So, you know, you do have to pay attention. And usually when you're applying for a mortgage, you have a certain period of time when you can choose to lock the rate that you want. So you have to be aware of what's going on to try to negotiate, you know, watch your timing for the best rate.
What's
possible.
The if I tomorrow say, boy, I'm going to look for a house, and I'm going to find this Audrey lady who's really good at doing this stuff. What is the time frame? What is the pecking order? What do I do first? Do I go see the
you
bank?
You better get yourself pre-approved for a mortgage before you do anything, because no real estate agent's going to take you around unless you know you can buy something. So the first thing you got to do is find yourself a mortgage broker, and you could ask your real estate agent. Most agents could recommend. Two or three agents usually recommend at least three.
So what does a pre-approval letter actually entail? Is it an actual commitment?
Well, I don't want you to bring me a pre-approval letter, because that doesn't mean a lot to me. We can start there. That means they just basically ran your credit, and you know you have some you look like you might be good. But until you actually go through the approval process and get what we call a commitment letter, that the bank actually said, yeah, we've checked your credit, we've checked your taxes, we've checked everything you said, you're not lying to us, we're committing to a mortgage subject to verification of the title, a copy of the contract, and appraisal. Now you're good to go, now you mean something, because otherwise nobody knows what you have. So if you're paying cash, we need to see a letter of proof of funds, or you better have an approval letter. A commitment letter is better, a pre-approval is marginal, then we're going to make you finish that and get all your information into your mortgage broker. Because, especially if you're negotiating on a property where there's a lot of interest, the person who has the best... dropped you for a minute. The best financial situation is going to usually win the negotiation.
When did that all change? Well, I'm going to go back a ways. The last time I bought a house was probably 1986. I signed it and said, I'll be back tomorrow with a mortgage. I walked in and said, I just bought a house. I need a mortgage. The guy said, okay.
No. I won't even put you in the car until you've got an approval. You're not going to waste my time or the seller's time unless I know you're good for it.
I'll bet I can get somebody.
I can buy a house. They have no credit. They have no money. They're just using you for a taxi service.
I'll bet I'd put somebody put me in the car. Just saying.
I don't think so.
So now, literally, my way of doing it, where you went and found the place, signed it, then you went and got a mortgage, it took you a day or two, that's totally opposite now. You go get the mortgage first, basically.
I can't believe that you don't know that. Especially after spending time.
I'm asking when did it all change. I'm asking when did it all change to where you you don't even start.
Oh, about 30 years ago.
You see what I have to put up with, AV? See what I have to put up with?
You people that don't know. I'm telling you. What am I going to do?
Maybe he says, I don't have any choice. I'm like, well. God.
No, I mean, it's just good business. It's like anything.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand.
Way, you're not going to place option trades without money in the account. It's the same thing.
Well,
got to know you're good for it before anything happens.
Well, I guess my question is that, in one hand, you don't want to waste your time. Why does the banker, I mean, you've had people that have a mortgage commitment and buy anything for 5 years.
Yeah, well, you also need a motivated buyer, too, at that point in time. But it's you have people that don't realize they have to do it, and, you know, like that. But no, especially like yourselves who have maybe have, I have one of my clients, they lived in their house for 36 years. The whole world has changed since they bought a house. So they needed a lot of hand-holding guidance. We have to do this, we have to do this. You know, if you got to sell this house to buy that, you got to make sure all the timing works, get your financing in order, make sure the people that are buying are good for it so that my sellers could buy their house and make everything close at the same time so it works. So, you know, it's all about timing, just like everything else in life.
So you'd say my education has been slowed by being on the trading floor, and you put your badge on, everybody was good for it, you made a trade, it was done deal, and it's not the
way
to work.
Well, you can't be good at everything. I'll let you go on that
one. All right, well. Hey, you got a couple seconds here. Give us a shameless plug.
Okay, if you're looking to buy or sell a house, give me a call, 708-846-6494. You can call or text me that number or send me an email at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
All right, thank you very much. We'll talk about it when we come back, but Japan almost positive on his 10-year rate. We'll be right back with Mr. Joel Unkonen.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com, that's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. She's AV on the board. She'll have a Joel on Canada in a second. SP Futures down $10. NASDAQ Futures down 37. Dow Futures down 114. This is after a pretty big move down yesterday. Headline is U.S. Futures drop after Trump says China trade deal may not happen until after 2020 election. Trump slams Macron for insulting and disrespectful NATO comments. When I read that, without throwing in a political thing, just things that pop into your head. I'm just thinking, if Trump was a pot, would he be hanging around on the stove with all the other pots calling them all black? Because nobody's insulted NATO more than he has, that I know of. But anyway, that's his tweet this morning. DAX up 62.4%, FTSE down 81, 1.1%, CAC down 26.45%. I'm going to check and see if the DAX was open. I don't know why they'd be up and other people down. Nikkei down 149.6%, Shanghai up 8.3%, Hang Seng down 53.2%. So not much going on over there. Tell you what, here's the news today, though. 10-year, not much. It's up to 179. It's up a little bit. Bund, 0.29. But get a load of this. Japan, minus 0.01, up another 0.02%. We could be positive tomorrow in Japan. That'd be the first time, and maybe Joel will know how long, but it's been years. Gold is up 580 to 1475. Silver up 10 cents. Trying to get back over $17 at $16.94. We've got oil down 17 cents, $55.79. So made a high of 58 like a couple of weeks ago, but it's down near the bottom end of this new range, which I'm thinking is like 53.5 to 58. So we'll see if that turns around or what those natural gas. 240 up 7 cents. Probably because that storm out east. RBOB gas, 157. AV, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, a lot of sports.
Good morning, everyone. It is 36 minutes past the hour. Another windy day in Windy City. 30 degrees right now outside. Breezy and humid day. The cloudy weather should clear out in the afternoon. No rain expected, though. The highest of the day is 42. The lowest 30. Cloudy Tuesday this week in Phoenix, 45 degrees currently, mostly cloudy day. There is mainly some sunshine during the afternoon, light and variable wind during the day. The highest is 69 and the lowest 56. The traffic in Chicago is pretty moderate at this hour. One stop and go accident on Eisenhower West before East Avenue. Expect delays up to 10 minutes. Also, no more accidents right now, but just be aware of like a lot of constructions throughout the city. One is on Burn Interchange reconstruction project, which closes the exits on Eisenhower West at Burnie and then Ryan East at Taylor Street and Roosevelt until late 2020. That's it for now in traffic. Let's see how the image will be in 1 hour. Chef?
No sports? We got the Hawks getting clobbered.
You know better.
Yes, I do. Hawks got clobbered. And Joel, did Michigan win or lose?
Good morning, Chief. You were cutting in. Wow, I'm sorry. What did you say?
So the Hawks got clobbered last night in Minnesota. I think the Raiders all of a sudden got a really good team again. They clobbered Minnesota last night. And what's his name? Threw a couple interceptions, but... At Seattle, they look like they got a big...
Seattle. Yeah, Seattle looks good. I did not watch a lot of the game. I think Seattle has to be one of your favorites coming out of the NFC. San Francisco played a tough game, too, but I still think your winner is going to be out of the AFC. You still really like the way the Colts look.
Yeah, I was going to say it's got to be the...
not the Colts. I keep saying the Colts. The Ravens. The Ravens. You're showing my age here.
Well, where did the Browns move?
Browns are under 500. I don't think they have a chance to make the playoffs. They really needed that game against Pittsburgh over the weekend, and they lost.
The Ravens were the Colts that left in the middle of the night, right? Bob Irsay.
Yes.
And where did the Browns move with what's his name?
No. Was it at Baltimore, too?
No. Did the original Baltimore team move somewhere else?
It was the Browns that went to Baltimore in the middle of the night, I thought.
No, it was originally was the Baltimore Colts. I mean, the Colts went to Indianapolis middle of the night, and then the Browns went to Baltimore. That's right. Isn't that right?
I think it happened twice.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Where's Maddie when we need him?
Yeah, Yeah, the Browns left its longtime home to Baltimore during the 1995 season.
Yeah, that's when I learned the most about the finances of football, because for whatever reason, he wasn't a color man normally, but the coach, Mike Ditka, did the last game with, I think, Tom Brenneman, or one of those guys. Either Brenneman or Carey's kid, one of the two. It was a different group. And so the coach, being his typical, shall we say, out there style, what was the name of the owner of the team, Art Modell?
Yeah, Art Modell, yep.
And the coach said, they said, well, you know, he just didn't know the finances weren't right in Cleveland. And Dick goes, what are you talking about? You get a check for essentially the salary cap from radio and TV at the beginning of the year. So your entire home gate, your NFL properties, your radio, local radio and TV, and all the concessions, all the other stuff, all you got to do is pay for the coaches, the insurance, and like, so he goes, the only way you could lose money is like gamble it away. Okay. So he pretty much debunked Art Modell's "I can't make any money here" story. Shall we say? Anyway, what's going on with the market, buddy? You know, I cannot even give you grief about Michigan, because I think Ohio State is just that good.
Yeah, they certainly are. Every aspect of the game. You know, I knew that we. Well, first of all, my apologies to anybody that was stupid enough to take the money line on that game. We need to get out in front of them and hold on for dear life. And we didn't get out in front of them. Well, we had a couple of mistakes, but I think even if those, you know, we wouldn't have had those mistakes, I think just, you know, better players, better coaching, and better execution at this point. Very boring college football season. You know, I guess I'll put on my LSU Tiger hat and say go Tigers and see if they can upset Ohio State.
Yeah, but,
a basketball school, Chief. You got to realize that basketball is our forte.
Well, I don't see. I've seen LSU play a couple times. They look pretty good, but I don't know. This Ohio State team looks. I'd pick them right now.
They may. Well, I mean, if you look at the 22, starters that they have, I mean, it looks like almost everyone's going to play in the NFL. Also, when you have, 320-pound linemen, 330-pound linemen playing against, guys that weigh 275, 280, it's just not going to work. Those big guys are going to wear you down.
Oh, and that halfback is unreal.
He is. And, man, it was killer. I mean, he would go up, they would, run the play quickly, go to the line so Michigan couldn't substitute on defense. And, Fields would just look over, and it looked like they just knew exactly what to run. I guess, we'll see what happens with the defensive coordinator position at Michigan. I never was a huge Shea Patterson fan. I mean, he's been here for a couple years. He came in with the accolades. I've always been a Dylan McCaffrey, so I'll go with Dylan McCaffrey, Ed McCaffrey's son and Christian's brother. And then we get this running back that had some academic troubles back last year. So I'd say next year, Harbaugh, on the road in Columbus, you can't be looking forward to that. But
you know what, though? You might
see room for a little bit of hope.
I think you're going to benefit from about 15 guys getting drafted from Ohio State, all the juniors, too.
Yeah, they seem to reload, though.
Yeah. Hey, got to ask you, we obviously had the market down yesterday pretty heavy. Trump, can't keep his mouth shut today with the saying that he might wait till after the election on the deal. Well, of course, we'll get somebody running down the driveway today and say, no, it'll be tomorrow. But, just kind of bull in a china shop. But I have to ask you, what is your – these bonds, I've not seen a move like this in the Japanese stuff. And how many years have they been negative? 10? They're about to come positive here.
Man, I tell you, this interest rate situation, Chief, I mean – it's just maybe money's just flowing out of here and into Japan. I mean, and maybe people have had enough. Maybe that's the next big asset rotation, out of the U.S. treasuries and into, other treasuries. Maybe the dollar's turned around. I don't know. The whole thing with Trump to me is, one, and I can't believe the media's not saying this, but he never had a deal.
No.
I mean, if he never had a deal. We raised gains because he's not having a deal, but I don't know. It's troubling. It's troubling in the market. It's troubling to be a long-term investor when, these kind of headlines move the market like they do. But, slow and steady wins the race, but this kind of stuff is definitely unnerving at the least. And we're just tanking down here again. I don't know. We probably got some more bad news coming down the pipeline. S&P futures just blasted through the overnight low. You seen anything there, Chief?
No, I mean, I was just looking on the TV and everywhere. They just dropped five bucks.
What are we seeing over there? Anything? No?
They dropped five bucks just when we were since we stopped talking about Michigan.
I know. They just dropped $5 when we were talking. I don't know. We'll find out soon here. Maybe some people just woke up and hit the sell button. But, yeah.
What are we going to do?
Here. I don't know if it's going to be as rocky as last December. But we're definitely in for a rocky road here.
What are we going to do if Japan goes positive on these rates? And in the next 5 years, they actually start growing a little bit. Is somebody going to write a book saying Chief and Joel might have been right about this one? Because nobody in Japan will say that they were wrong. They'll never say they were wrong by doing this.
No. It's a tough investing environment, and it makes you think. When you see these kind of movements, it makes you think about tightening the belt a little bit, taking a few chips off the table.
Real quick, because I know you got a dash. I was talking to David yesterday. And the tout is, and it's funny when people do nothing but talk on radio and TV. They obviously don't have clients, because if you have clients, you have a different view of the world. The tout is that if interest rates around the world continue to go up the 10-year, how better that's going to be for us, because banks are going to go up. And I said to David yesterday, okay, no, wait a minute. We've both been around long enough to know that if interest rates start to go up to where they become, where people can actually make a couple of bucks there. I have people. I had two calls last week. People want to dump me a lot of money and say, can you get me 2.5%? And I said, well, 6 months ago, we get you 2.5% or 2.4 on 6-month T-bills. I said, if you can do that for me, I'm all yours. Well, you can't do that right now, but we're not that far away from with these 10-year rates. If they get the 2.5, 3, there's people who are going to say, I'm out of the market here. I mean, the idea that if interest rates go up, the market goes up, That's such a new phenomenon, isn't it? I mean,
and that's the other thing too. I mean, if you look at that, that's why I have a hard time owning a lot of banks. Is, well, yeah, higher interest rates are good, right? They're good for banks, but I look at it, and the way we were taught back in the old school was, no, interest rates going up is bad for the market because assets flow out of the market and into these interest rate variables. So, always been underinvested in banks. I think interest rates are, they may go up. They may go up incrementally, but I don't think we're not going up. And I don't, how much lower can you take them before we go negative?
Well, some of these banks, some of these credit unions are all paying 1.5%. Are these big banks? I mean, they got so many people locked in, but are they losing it?
I'm not sure.
Joel, we'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Banks are tough.
All right, take care, buddy. SP futures, like Joel said, just dropped. They're down 14. Now they were down just 15.75. NASDAQ futures down 51.50. Come back with Mr. Kenny Polcari.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of
entrepreneurs,
traders, executives, and the everyday business person?
Right.
Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what
just
it takes
your,
to put your business over the
belief
top.
Chief was
for
drinking.
More information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
He was at Sirius Cafe with somebody other than his wife for 2 hours, 3 hours. No.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Right now. Well, Lupe Stocks and Jocks, she's AV on the board. All kinds of people calling in, calling out this morning. She's got it all figured out over there. S&P Futures down 1450. NASDAQ Futures down, now down 53. Dow Futures, well, get the Dow Futures. The Dow Futures are down 111. Mr. Kenny Pulcheri, how are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
All right. I'll try not to get you so rousted this week that you're, like, gesturing on the other end of the line.
What's going on?
Not that I saw you.
As if there's nothing to talk about. Now we're dragging everyone else into this trade war, you know?
I know. I just had this bizarre things that pop into your head, right, which you better most of the time are left unsaid. When Trump is pissed off at Macron for insulting and disrespectful NATO comments, I had this vision. I love to cook. I'm nowhere near as much of a cook as you are with the recipes and everything. But I have a vision of, like, all these pots sitting on my stove and one of them insulting all the other pots for, like, being pots or something. Has anybody insulted NATO more than this guy has?
Do I know what?
Has anybody insulted NATO more than Trump has?
Yeah, I can't believe it. I can't believe, actually, how much he has. You know what I mean? He's been very outspoken, which I'm surprised at.
The minute McCrad says something, it's insulting and disrespectful.
Yeah, can you imagine?
I can't even.
And Trump says it's not nice the way he talks. Really?
You know what, Kenny? The guy must sleep like a baby. He has to. I mean, there's nothing bothers him. I mean, you know, I would hate to play golf against him. He must be like the guy on TV. One behind the green, two over, four putts. That's a five. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, what's going on in this market, bud?
Dude, you know, Sonny, I think the market hit a wall at 31.50. You know, last week it traded right up there. Yesterday it attempted to rally there again until he came out and tweeted his comments about Brazil and Argentina, which really just gave the algos in the market a chance to take a breath and take some profits off the table. Look, we're up 10% since that little pullback in October, yep, on October 3rd, right before the Fed raised rates. The market's up 10% across the board, the Dow, the Nasdaq, and everything. So why everyone is making such a big deal going, oh, my God, this is the beginning of the end. Really? Are you kidding me? And so I think that was okay. I think today's comments this morning about him not necessarily sure he even wants to make a deal with China now until after the election is certainly going to create some headline noise and create some headline sell-off. But the truth is, look, we're 23 months into this. We've been talking about how this trade war was going to derail the global economy. It has done everything but that. While they say that Europe is still weaker, that's fine. Europe has been weaker, but it's going along as it is. European markets are making new highs. The Germany, Italy, France, all those markets are making new highs as you know, this whole global weakness story continues to unfold. So I think I've now come to the impression that although I thought we were going to have this 11th hour deal next week on the 14th where everyone's going to come out and shake hands and, you know, kiss the babies and go, look what we did, I don't think that's going to be the case anymore. I just, after yesterday and after this morning's comments, unless he's really playing everybody and he is going to come up with an 11th hour deal, I just don't think, I'm not even sure there's going to be a deal even after the elections next year. I think he's just, you know, he's sticking his feet in the ground and he's not going to move.
What, if you separate for a second the stock markets of the world versus the economies of the world, do you think there's a spread there? But how the stock markets are quote doing, and how the economies are doing. I look at our economy and I don't.
Listen, I think there is a spread there, but I think the spread is all being driven by central bank action, whether it's the ECB, whether it's the Fed, whether it's the Bank of England, whether it's the People's Bank of China, whether it's the Bank of Japan. You know, all in Reserve Bank of Australia, although they left rates unchanged today, they cut rates in that country three times since June. And so all this action around the world is being driven by, in my mind, central bank policy, which is you and I have talked about. At some point, you got to pay the piper, and that's when the rubber is really going to hit the road. But, you know, we're already pricing in at least another two rate cuts in 2020. And so the market seems to be okay with it. So I think there's a natural floor under the market. I don't think you're going to see a big 10 or 15% correction right now at all. You know, if you see the market pull back 5 or 6%, okay, that's great. What does that really mean in the bigger picture? The market's up. The Nasdaq's up 29% year to date. What's a big 5% pullback? It's not a big deal.
But if you run back like a calendar year, those aren't the numbers, right? Because we know everybody's starting at the end of the.
That might be true after the devastation that the market withstood at the end of last year. I agree, but the market has the Nasdaq, the S&P, and the Dow all regained all that move early in the year. By April or June, 2019, we had already regained those highs and have since moved higher from there. And so I really think all the noise around trade is just that. Yeah, okay, it creates headlines and creates all this panic from day to day. But in the end, I think we're humming along here. I don't care what they say. IHS yesterday was expansionary. The ISM was contractionary. It's been that way for the last 3 months. They're contradicting each other. Meanwhile, they're measuring the same data point, right? Manufacturing. So how can one say we're expansionary, the other one say we're contractionary, for 3 months in a row?
Actually, very easy, Kenny. And I'll lob this one. Feel free to use this because it's not mine. Carl Denninger comes on and he's digs into all these, and he's absolutely convinced that 2024 is as far as we can go with the healthcare doing what we're doing. He'll paint the picture that if you look at the amount of people hired in the last 2 years that are in healthcare, it's like 50% of the people hired, or 40. Yep. It's a huge number. It's in restaurants and it's in healthcare, and yet we have a healthcare system that you have the national exposure. I don't, but all it's going to, I honestly believe this reminds me of August of 1981 or 82. All it's going to take is somebody of note to command some kind of a tweet out, just like what's his name did from Salomon Brothers in August 82. You know what? These inflation numbers are BS, and you can't have, 400,000 people hired into an industry that's 20% of the national product, and keep counting it as 6% of inflation. I mean, one of my buddies was just, he had a heart rhythm issue, he'll go nameless. He was overnight in a hospital, $14,000.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing?
I told you this story. Told you this story last week about my daughter having that surgery out in California. It's ridiculous.
Well, man, why are we on a national ignore of this? I mean, if you put that into the system, the inflation rate is nowhere near what these people are talking about. Neither is the unemployment rate when you talk about people that are out of the business, and you talk about the jobs that are being created versus the ones that aren't. I mean, the ones you're losing are worth 2 to 3 of the ones that you're gaining.
Understood, but maybe that's the new reality, right? Maybe that's part of the new norm, the new paradigm that everyone's talking about, from Fed Chair, Powell, all the way down to, local strategists and economists when they talk about what the new economy looks like.
Well, but how does the president, who likes to, bleat like a bazoo everywhere, why doesn't he stop this essentially indentured servitude of people coming from overseas and working for $65,000 in Silicon Valley when the going rate for our people is 80? I mean, we could stop this pretty quick if we wanted to. Or not stop, we could at least make strides. We stay away from any sort of solution. All we do is talk nonsense. I mean, not you and me, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, if we want to stop it, let's stop it. Well, why does Apple need to hire people below market from overseas that can't go down the block to somebody else?
Well, I hear you. Why do they need to do it? We could talk about why they do need to do it.
Well, in their mind, they do.
Why they're getting away with it is a different issue, right?
Well, in their mind, yeah. I'd love to have people work for free. But guess what? Right. It's not but it's not the way the world works. I'd like to walk in and say, hey, give me that. What did the Stooges say? They had three drinks, and Larry says it's a tin roof. And the guy goes, what's that? He goes, it's on the house. But, that'd be nice. I mean, there aren't many lines that you can't find from the Stooges. So, I mean, I got to ask you, we're down to 1675 now. What do you make of this Japan almost going positive? How many years has it been?
Oh, my God. It's been, in Japan, it's been, dude, that started in the early 90s. I mean, it's almost been 30 years, right? 35 years.
So what if they're one day away from ducking positive on this 10-year rate? They're minus 0.01, up 0.2 today. 0.02.
Right. And so, all the fireworks are going to go off when that happens because, I mean, you remember, they've been struggling with this problem over in Japan for decades now.
So what happens, Kenny, if you and I are doing the show and it's a couple of years from now and all of a sudden their rate over there is up to like 2% and their economy actually starts growing again? Do you think one of these blithering idiots will come out and say we were wrong?
That's interesting. I'm not sure anyone's ever going to admit they were wrong, right? They'll always try to push it on somebody else. But no one really runs to the forefront to say, oh, look, by the way, I was wrong on this whole thing.
No, man. Do you have a doctor around that says the doctors were wrong for bleeding people for 1,000 years? They just didn't bleed them enough, right? So we're down 17. I have not seen a headline here. What is going on this morning other than more stuff coming out of the NATO meeting?
That's really what's going on this morning. I mean, look, OPEC's going to meet on Thursday. They're talking about more production cuts. Russia's not sure they want to go along with it. Oil's up a little bit on the back of that. But really, there's no eco data in this country this morning. And the conversation around the world has been about not only trade now with China, but now the issue with steel in Brazil and Argentina, and now the, potential 100% tariffs that they could impose on France, which was leaked this morning by a U.S. trade representative who went unidentified. You know, that was something that Trump did not say. Some U.S. trade representative did, but nobody's exposing who that was. So all the conversations, the noise today around all the markets is going to be about the trade, the different trade wars going on with different, allies and not around the world.
Well, yeah, we only have a few seconds, Kenny. Why would all these tariffs on steel all over the place, are the steel stocks absolutely flat on their ass? If you'd have bought those things in anticipation of them doing well, you would not be up 25% this year like the market.
Right. But I also don't think, they're making a big deal about that, I think, just because it adds to the trade war ranks. But I don't think it's a big deal at all.
Well, I mean,
but we'll see.
You would have guessed that these companies would have done well with tariffs, and they aren't.
Right.
When it's, I don't know, right. something.
Right, you would have thought that they would have. But
Kenny, take care of yourself, buddy. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Talk to you next week. SP Futures now down 16.75. NASDAQ Futures down 60. Come back. We'll have Mr. Jeff Joseph from Luckbox Magazine.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Alley. Mr. Jeff Joseph from Luckbox Magazine. She's AV on the board. SP Futures down 16 here as we've dumped again. The news is coming out of NATO. Obviously, they're in the middle of the afternoon there. So, well, they're what, about 12 o'clock there, Jeff? And so there, stuff's happening. So we're going to be getting that stuff here before the opening. NASDAQ Futures down 56. Right now, they seem to be at each other's throats, but, you know, that can change. And it is sort of interesting. Jeff, what do you make of this Japan interest rate almost going to zero here? I don't know if you noticed that this morning. It's 0.01, up 0.02. It was minus 0.29, I'm going to say a month ago. The Bund was minus 0.78. Now it's minus 0.30. We got down to what, 1.48, and now we're 1.79. So these 10-year yields are, you know, it's in, well, you don't want to do percentage terms when you're negative, but still, it's, I mean, they're definitely on the move up here, even though, you know, we're nowhere near a negative sloping yield curve anymore. And the Fed is still trying to, you know, put more money into the system. But I don't know, what if Japan goes positive here? I don't know, what does that even? It's been what, 20 years, 25?
It's been 20 years, and maybe they're paying the price for the kind of fantasy world they've been living in for a long time with the Japanese economy. But I think what we've noted from the last several months is that these interest rates have become much more volatile. I mean, we talked about the inverted yield curve months ago, and that disappeared, you know, in a matter of weeks. So it's hard to make any – it's hard to draw any firm conclusions.
Well, it barely got inverted. I mean, yeah, it was
barely got
like
inverted.
One
right.
day.
I
mean,
that's
you,
right.
But it, we sure talked about it all.
But it was 3 weeks of talking
yes,
about it.
Yes, it was,
right?
It was definitely yes. – It was a million words per hour. It was inverted. It was, and still, yeah, every time that's, you know, that's sort of different. But yeah, when I started talking about an inverted yield curve, the near term was, I'm going to say, 16. And the 30-year, I don't think the 30-year ever got above like 12.5, did it? So,
no.
I mean, it was a 3.5%. Well, I guess if you're talking about 2 to 10, in those days, it was all a 30. Nobody even worried about the 10, but... But clearly that was inverted. I mean, when your near term was, because everybody figured that if we stayed at 16 for 30 years, we wouldn't have a country. So it had to come down somehow, right? I mean, pretty much. I mean, it was, I don't think it was much more logic to it than that.
Right.
But,
Well, clearly the Bank of Japan has made a commitment to low interest rates, at least through the spring. And, I think, you know, there's a concerted effort there to, and still home buying, and mortgages are about about 55 bips over there, I think.
Yep.
That's right. That's the current rate. And they plan to hold them there. They've made that commitment. So I think there's good trading opportunities around that, but not so much.
Well, the whole party line worldwide is that there's no inflation. Yet if you open your eyes, obviously there is. Now, I mean, the one thing we were talking about yesterday with Jan Flanagan and a little bit David was it's really hard to have to base your entire economy and your whole Fed structure on basically a horse bleep trade. I mean, there's no way on earth you or I are going to put somebody's money to work at 1% for 30 years or 10 years or negative 2% for 30 years unless we think somebody dumb and dumber is going to come buy it from us, which would have to be a central banker because nobody else would be. You could never charge somebody to manage their money and put it in a zero interest thing for 10 years that you're charging the guy. I mean, how the hell could you pull that one off? I mean, you know, but so, I mean, how do you build a system, you know, on what really is to most people's mind a lousy trade? The whole assumption that people shouldn't get any money for their money. Well, that's not the way the world has worked for century and century.
Well, it certainly has benefited the capital markets. There's no question about
that.
Yeah. I mean, so if you're looking for a conspiracy theory, I think that's it, right? I mean, low interest rates or no interest rates have basically driven money into the capital markets, and we see the, you know, a 10-year result of that.
Well, what would have happened, Jeff? You're much younger, but what would have happened if you were teaching? Well, even today, but even today, you might get a different answer, but you're teaching class in, say, 1984. You say, okay, here's a capital asset pricing model. You know, if an asset is worth basically the stream of income that it generates every year or the expected stream of income, with some variance in there, obviously, based on risk, but say there was no risk, it was a T-bond. It's basically worth the stream of income divided by the rate, right?
All right.
And it's one of the formulas that you really can't mess with. I mean, it's been there for forever, right? If you got a six flat and you're the Eastern European dude that only buys six flats, if he says, by the way, Jeff, you know, here you want to sell me your six flat. Yeah, how much does it make? Is it maintained pretty well? Normal maintenance? Yeah. How much is it, generate a year? $100,000 a year clear profit. And your guy goes, okay. I demand a 10% return. I'll give you $1 million for it right now on the napkin, right? It's simple enough to do. I mean, this is not rocket science. What if some kid in class 25 years ago would raise his hand and say, Mr. Joseph, sir, what if the interest rate is zero? How much is the place worth? Well, if you look at the formula, it means it's worth infinite.
That's right.
Well, but things aren't worth it. I mean, obviously they're going to be worth a lot more as the rates go down, but right. It's pretty hard to be infinite because you're going to say, wait a minute, what if they go back the other way? I'm not so sure. I want to be paying, you know, $20 million for the six flat instead of the $1 million I think it's worth. But basically, if you can't get $100,000 a year anywhere else, and this thing will give you $100,000 a year and interest rate is zero, you go borrow money for nothing, why wouldn't you own every six flat in the country?
That's a good point, right?
I mean, I think a lot of I mean, you know this, and I wonder if any of you guys at the Luckbox have ever done, John Carmichael. He used to be a sports reporter,
sure.
And his column was what? In the wake of the news. Where two or three days later, you could actually write a real definitive story about what happened 2 days ago that you were just trying to get the press, right? Mm-hmm. And now, if you went back and looked at the 2007, 2008 mortgage fiasco, I mean, have you guys ever done any research like this or you ever read it where it really was totally blown up by the fact that people were able to borrow in Japan at 1 or 2% and buy mortgages here at 6 or 6.5%? Because a 6.5% return should never have, you know, been like a double shot of Viagra for anybody, right? It's not like it was a 12% return in the early, you know, in the early 80s where you'd sit there and go, God, I'll be all over that one. But 6.5% is not anything really to write mom about.
It's not a bad carry trade, though.
No, but if you can go somewhere else, if you go somewhere else and get the two, well, yeah, you and I go see Jeff puts in $100,000, Chief puts in $100,000,
sure.
And we can borrow $40 million from from Japan at 2%, and it invested at 6. Well, even you and I could figure that one out, right?
Right.
But why didn't the Fed somehow figure that was going on and somehow put a stop to it? I mean, and now, of course, they got every rules where you don't get a mortgage, you can't, and you're $100 off on the calculation. You can't reach in your pocket and give the guy $100 and say we're even. Oh no, that's against the law. That's going to screw the world. Yet they were supposed to be in charge. How did they not know that amount of cash was flying over here for just that purpose?
Yeah, a lot of corporate interests want to encourage mortgage borrowing. So they and then of course we paid the price for it afterwards.
Well, but there were the mortgage borrowing I get, but there were $35 worth of leverage on every dollar of mortgages.
Right.
And you and I as much. As I try to be on the cusp, and you're way more on the cusp because you got these guys, you know, writing articles for you and looking for stuff. By the way, your guy last week was terrific.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and somebody, every one of these
Mike,
guys.
Mike Hart.
Yeah, every one of these guys. Yeah, Mike. And he, yeah. Well, everyone, you've had like three guys on. Every one of them is better than the next. I mean, they're all terrific. They all keep saying, fire that jet. No, they don't, actually. but, I mean, how is it with guys that smart around, you know, younger people, how did the Fed not realize, what is this avalanche of dough coming over here buying this crap? How did they not know that there were those kinds of flows? You and I could never have known that. Neither could Mike. Nobody. How would we ever know about an international money flow? I guess there's somewhere buried in the Fed stuff where we maybe could have spotted if we knew what we were looking for. But how did they not know that? And do something about it. How would they expect us to know that?
It's hard to understand what the Fed's focus is at any given time, whether they're long-term oriented or short-term. You have a current administration that's been jawboning them successfully. What has it been, three easings now? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's hard to know what they're even looking at if it's about short-term, you know, in trying to provoke economic activity for political reasons, which is clearly what the administration's doing, or is the Fed really looking at the long-term ball? And in spite of what you've recognized to be a shadow inflationary environment, the Fed doesn't seem to be looking at that. So if they would, they wouldn't be easing.
I think what the scary as it may seem, first of all, I'm not worth any much of a swimmer, so I couldn't give anyone any swimming lessons. But one thing's for sure, if I could give swimming lessons, I couldn't give you swimming lessons and keep you dry at the same time. Because swimming lessons have to take place in the pool, correct?
Yes.
So how exactly does the Fed, I mean, if you were a snide dude about government, you want to do two things right now. You want to inflate the money, so the money that you can't pay back, eventually you pay back with money that's worth half as much, okay? But you can't tell anybody you're doing that, or you got to raise all the entitlement numbers to match inflation.
That's right.
So the only way you can do those things together is to lie to people. There is no inflation. Yeah, but what about this? What did I just tell you? There is no inflation. Right?
The you mentioned 1984, and looking at 1984 in history, the inflation rate back then was 4.3%. Interest rates were at 10.75%. Monthly average rent was $350. Gallon of gas was $1.83.
Yep.
So, you know, it's a long time ago, but you clearly have indications of inflation since then.
Well, you haven't been here for a few weeks.
No.
So, yeah. I didn't get a chance to tell you. With all these, you know, rainy days and Mondays, well, the rainy days and Saturdays always get me down. So I actually been doing some research saying, you know, I've been talking about this inflation for a while. Maybe I should actually do some rigorous research, as Milton Friedman used to say, and actually dig into it. And I get a load of this. Now, you know, and silently think I'm a Luddite like everybody else does. I actually found a site. Imagine this, Jeff, me. I found a site that has every college tuition, every college in the country, room and board, going back to 1998. Imagine me finding that site.
Yeah, there you go.
And just shows to show, what, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every now and then, as he used to say on the trading floor. I went back to, and the game here is, there's always not just the numbers, but there's the game. And why in America, why are we always like this? If you look at just the inflation numbers from 98 till today, it's virtually Now, if I'll ask you this because I know you know the answer probably. Mm-hmm. What do you suppose the CPI number is from 98 to today? If you say what's the general inflation number increase from in the last, what's 21 years? 20 years, 1919.
I actually couldn't venture a good guess.
It's 0.52. So everything is up 52%.
That's it?
That's right. It.
Well, that certainly provides a solid basis for your skepticism there.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, well, the colleges are up roughly...
Up 30%, 50%.
No, they're up 285.
All right. So explain that.
Yeah, explain that. Well, but right. You know,
and then healthcare costs how much?
Yeah, but wait a minute. But that's just the game,
right?
Or that's just the numbers. What's the game? There's always the game beneath the game. As you and I grew up in Chicago, we know there's always something worse, right? The phenomenon since then has been this in-state, out-of-state.
Yeah.
No, in-state, out-of-state.
Sure.
Well, right. But if you look at, you know, you realize that there's out-of-state tuition for Richard J. Daley College and Loop Junior College and right. Prairie State.
Yes.
You do that?
Yeah.
How the hell do you know that?
Oh, because I heard you
mention
that.
Oh, okay. But, yes. I mean, so if you actually take the out-of-state and figure how many people now in Illinois can't go to Illinois and got to go to Wisconsin and pay out-of-state, and how many in Wisconsin can't go to Wisconsin, got to go to Illinois and pay out-of-state, it's like five times. It's virtually the same as on the tollway, the people that have the easy pass versus the idiots who don't. You know, the toll's like three times as much.
Yeah.
So the hospitalization in, you probably know this at Luckbox, so you're probably paying, hospitalization for one of your employees per month or per year just blew through the $20,000 number. In 2000, it was $7,500. So that's virtually the same number as the colleges. It's like 2.85%. I never dreamed they'd be even, but they are. And I also took the third leg of this bad stool is elementary and high school education. I guess I could go through, you know, Marist and Brother Rice and those places, but I decided, okay, since most of the property taxes is 55-60% education, I just looked at property taxes. And now, of course, you start digging through property tax of 50 states. I wasn't that energetic. So I look at Illinois, which is maybe a bad one, but I looked at Illinois because that's where we live. The average property tax is up like 3.6% a year. So it's probably somewhere 2.5 range from where it was in 2000. Now, of course, there's areas where there's homeowners exemptions and, I mean, all that kinds of crap. But it looks like it's about that much. But the article I was reading said that it's outpaced income to such an extent that if Governor Pritzker tomorrow, which he would never do, just froze property taxes. Guess how many years before people were back to 2000 on an income versus property tax basis? It's like 28.
Yeah.
That's a waste. Yeah. So I just looked at those three things. Now, property taxes, other than being a little bit in the owner-occupied rent, all right, number in the CPI, which is like the housing number. They don't even look at housing price. They look at what owner-occupied equivalent rent, right? Isn't that what they look at?
Yes.
Now, if you look at education and hospitalization combined in the CPI are 11% of your basket. Okay? So
if you complete that analysis, what's offsetting the 11%?
TVs, which are probably down, mm-hmm. You know, and other stuff that you wouldn't even, I mean, you wouldn't even think of. I mean, in some places, I think they have... gasoline for the year is more than like higher education or as much. I mean, come on.
Okay, but that's it. You're saying You're saying entertainment appliances. What else?
Well, I'm saying, you know what? Next time around, we'll dig through the list.
Sure.
Slowly. I mean,
in the meantime, though, when you speak to the 300% increase in college tuition, and you wonder how that's been underwritten. That's been underwritten through student loan debt,
right.
Which is now $1.4 trillion. Right. The average student loan debt is supposed to be around $38,000, and the number of people over the age of 60 with student loan debt has now quadrupled to over 2.5 million. I think the number's just shy of 3 million people over the age of 60 have student loan debt.
Of their own, or because they co-signed for people?
I'm not sure. I just know that number is close to 3 million.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. I was in school. If I was still paying, I'd be pissed.
That's right. And, of course, because of the lobbying by the universities and endowments, which, by the way, that's the game, right? The end game is, we're funding basically with student loan debt professors in perpetuity that are on tenure that can't get fired. Meanwhile, you have endowments sitting at, half a billion to $1 billion endowments, yet these, where's the money going to? It's going to the professors, for the most part, to these universities. So that's what this student loan, which is a crisis, and it's a crisis that politically nobody seems to have the interest to take on. That's what's been funding these.
Why do you say, I'm going to push back just a hair, because you have skills that I do not have, but the one spot I'm good at is, I don't even know what a cost accountant is anymore. That used to be my expertise. I'm going to say that it's not the professors. I'm going to say it's the overhead.
Well, let's say it's the whole ball of wax. It's everything in there. I mean,
I'm not picking. I would never do that. But I would say.
Well,
what do you think the professors? You think the professor's salary is up 285 from 2000?
No,
or from 1998. I'm gonna say if Professor Eric was in here, he'd say, "What cloud are you on?"
Of course not. But at the same time, we had a discussion about a month ago during the CPS strike, and we looked at the inflation of Chicago teacher salaries.
Yep.
On a relative to the rest of the urban areas across the country, and we know how high they are.
Yes.
We know that they're working for 9 months, so I would assume that there's been a strong amount of inflation there, and probably not 300%, but it's certainly a component.
One of my crazy diggings I did, because we had somebody in from, it must have been Professor Hal Snarr, and he was going nuts about college education, even though, because he's pissed at how much it costs. You know what the ratio is of indirect people to professors at the California universities? It's like 10 to 1.
Yeah.
How can that even be, Jeff?
Yeah.
Where did you go to school, grammar school?
Grammar school in Lincolnwood.
Okay. What would you guess the amount of indirect people versus teachers was?
22,
20. We had a very unusual situation. At Catholic grammar school, you had nuns, right? So we had, I'm going to say, we had four classes in every grade, so that's 32. Two kindergartens, so that's 34 teachers. We had a principal, an assistant, two janitors, and a music teacher. So we had five indirect for 32 teachers. Somebody called in sick, the principal taught the class. I mean, I don't expect that in this day and age at all. But the idea that you might have CPS is one indirect person for every teacher. It's a big difference, boy. What do you suppose it was when you were there?
About the same, I would think.
One to one?
No, not quite.
Wow, you had a much more affluent spot than I did.
It was a public school in an affluent community, so I would think so.
So we had a couple of nurses, a few coaches that didn't teach, that kind of thing?
Exactly.
All right, and we didn't have any of that. The priest coached basketball, and he wasn't even part of the play. So that's another world. I'm not expecting that, but somewhere between there and the 10 to 1 at the University of California schools, there's a happy medium. I mean, I don't know if you can go back to that. I mean, you have to have a nurse, you got to have a psychiatrist, you got to have security. I mean, I'm not saying you can go back to that anymore, but the numbers just get astronomical.
Well, the numbers are high, but again, I'm wondering who has the political will. You know, there's always these general elections that come around, and you wonder who really is going to take on these issues that matter. And there is every once in a while somebody steps up, like Bush 45, I think, or 43. I forget which Bush was it that really made education a campaign promise. He paid lip service to it and obviously never fulfilled any of his educational promises, but he certainly caught attention of the electorate for someone who was, taking an issue that mattered at the time, and it at least it was smart marketing for campaign purposes. And student debt is impacting so many people right now, yet no one really is come up with any comprehensive plans to actually address it. So I don't consider what Warren says when she says she has a plan for everything, but then of course once she reveals that data, her polls begin slipping immediately because people realize that they're not functional plans. But somebody really has to take on the lobbies that have created the student loan crisis right now, because it is indeed a crisis. We've got a couple crises in front of us, right? And student loans is one of them. Obviously, opioid addiction is another one. And someone has to take these items on.
Jeff, if you and I were those people, and I'm going to guess that the people who are on this show, if we all got in a room, and even if it's from all different walks of political life, I would guess that in a solid week, we could come up with a 5 or 6 point plan to revamp education. And you know what? We better wipe our tushies with it, because we would be the most unpopular people on earth to bring that plan out, even though it would be an obvious plan if anybody thought a chance to look at it. Who are the two old how's this for fossil or for house outside? Who are the two old fossil face guys that came out with, was it they left the Senate and they spent a year putting together a budget thing, and
sure.
What were those two guys' names?
Yeah, and then they were
tall. They look like the guy in American Gothic. The two old dudes, Simpson Bowles,
exactly.
And one guy says, "He goes, if we didn't piss you off, you're your company. If we didn't piss you off by this, you haven't read it well enough," or something like that.
The irony is, it went nowhere.
Yeah, it went nowhere. Right. SP Futures down 21.25 now, NASDAQ Futures down 78. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. He's Jeff Joseph. She's Angelica Vlasenko on the board, doing
got
good
it.
Job with all the people. I got it right that time?
Finally? Yes, yes.
See how quick she... Now, I didn't know she was keeping track of all the times I got it wrong.
Yeah, right.
You know, you never know exactly what these ladies are thinking, Jeff. Just thinking. Just
well,
saying.
I'd like to hear her say it, though.
Yes, say it.
Angelica.
There you go.
Now, I could be real nasty and say, we're a moose and a squirrel.
No, I'm not going to repeat that again.
Russell asked her, please say we're a moose and a squirrel. Because she sounds a little bit... And you sounded just like her. You thought it was pretty funny. You did.
Yeah, just he did.
S&P futures down 21. Actually, down 23.75. NASDAQ futures down 85. We've been sinking the whole show. Dow futures down 232. Over in Europe, and I'm not going to give this DAX time. I can't believe these guys are up today. I think they're not up. I think they're not open. FTSE down 115, 1.6%. CAC around down 53, 1%. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei down 149.6%. Shanghai actually up 8.3%. Hang Seng down 53.2%. Big news that we talked about really during the whole show. Japan 10-year minus 0.01. Itching to get into the positive here. Ours is actually down a little bit, 1.77. The Bund down as well, minus 0.30. We've got gold now up 9.30, 14.78. Silver up 15 cents, 16.99, dying to get over that $17 number. Oil down 53 cents, 55.43. They're trying to, OPEC is, they're meeting this week, I think, aren't they, Jeff? I don't know what those meetings are like these days, but the Russians are resisting more cuts, and that's why it's down a little bit here. Brent down 57 cents, 60 bucks. Natural gas 240, which is a little bit of a rally. Must be a lot because of this big eastern storm. RBOB down a penny, 155. So natural gas going up, gasoline going down, as is oil. AV, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
Good morning, everyone. It is 7:37 in Chicago, 31 degrees currently. Breezy and humid day. The cloudy weather should clear out in the afternoon. Hopefully, we'll become sunny, because we really need some vitamin D, right, Chief?
Yes, we do.
No rain expected. The highest of the day will be 42 and the lowest 30. In Phoenix, pretty cloudy day. 45 degrees currently, mostly cloudy day. There might be some sunshine during the afternoon, light and variable wind during the day. 69 is the highest and the lowest 56. Also, the traffic volume in Chicago is getting heavier. We got new accident reported on Lakeshore Drive, 41 South before North Avenue. On Hollywood to Monroe, really big delays, up to 20 minutes. And the same accident, stop and go on Eisenhower West before East Avenue. Expect delays up to 10 minutes. Also, the same constructions. The one is on Kilpatrick Avenue in Colmar.
Yep. Kilpatrick.
Yeah, scheduled to close Fifth Avenue, which causing significant delays. One more construction causing traffic delays is scheduled to reduce westbound lane. Higgins Road from Ariel Avenue to Kenfin until late December.
Late December, that's a ways.
Yeah, this is what I got.
Anyway, the Hawks got clobbered by the St. Louis Blues, which I think are playoff and maybe Stanley Cup bound. 4-0 there. I think they were booed off the ice, Jeff. The Bulls actually won in Sacramento with LaVine having a big game. What do you think of that when you were watching the football game last night? Boy, sure. Seattle looked good, didn't they?
Sure, they did look good. And it's a shame, though. Minnesota took a run at them, but that fourth quarter was all Seattle.
Those guys, and it's going to be, well, I don't know. What do you think? Seattle-San Fran's going to be one hell of a game in the final, and then they got to play, I think they're going to be playing Baltimore.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although the
Baltimore, New England, yeah. Seattle, San Fran, I mean, it's going to...
They are so much better than, I mean, but some of these other teams, the Texans don't look bad.
No, they played up this weekend, I thought. Yeah.
What do you think of the, I don't think they're in that class, but boy, Pittsburgh has sure made a season out of it for themselves after being 1-3 and losing their quarterback. The Bears just seem like they're down in personnel compared to these other people, especially with the three guys they lost this year.
That's right.
I mean, it's sort of, we were talking about it yesterday with Maddie that, you know, if you can somehow find like your worst couple of guys and put in like an all pro in that spot. I mean, I would say most of these teams, Jeff, and please correct me if you, I think virtually any team top to bottom, if you put them out on a practice field together, that out of the 22 starters, even the crummy team would have 8 or 9 versus the good team. I mean, they're all drafted from the same pool. You know, you don't get a chance of the guy next to you is good and the guy on the other side is good, so it makes you even better. I mean, and then the Bears have some serious players. All these teams that are, quote, lousy have serious players. But it's just the idea that where you have a weak spot, some of these teams seem to be able to put somebody in there that all of a sudden it's not weak anymore. And they do it either through trade or through draft or through development or something. But it just seems like there's some good teams right now. Hey, what do you make of, we gotta get back to our stuff here because we have many things we want to talk about. Is it just me or ever since they started doing, being very worried about helmet to helmet hits, the amount of them are going up and not down. Is it just me?
You know, I don't know. I was watching a play last night unfold where the secondary got in on kind of a blitz against Wilson, and I saw what it seemed to be like a tentative attack on the quarterback. I think these players are really conscious of it, particularly in one-on-one takedowns. So I don't know. I think the increased awareness and the increased fines and they're calling more penalties.
Well, you see the guy take out Olsen?
Yeah.
I mean,
But I also see plays where you see a conscious effort,
yes,
on behalf of defense to get the helmet out of the way. You just see it, or to use shoulder and body instead. I mean, I see the game changing.
Well, it seems like, by the way, I 100% agree, which is probably not great radio, that 75% of the guys get it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 25, it's like they never saw the memo. Yeah. It's like it's worse. Because now these new helmets evidently protect against you getting a concussion. It's like the face mask. You never saw anything like that. People with a face mask. Not that I'm saying you should get them off, but
that's true.
I mean, whatever. Hey, just real quick before we get to you want to talk about the predicted site. Some of the stuff that I think in education would have to really go deep. I mean, when you talk about, let's say I know some people whose kids are going to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's now the it school if you can't get into Harvard, right? Pretty much, and the whole idea economically, Jeff, of people donating money tax-free or tax-deductible to these places and they become their own economic fiefdom. When I say that, I mean, you and I would take a very dim view if we walked into the local hamburger place and we said, well, give us 2 burgers, how much? And the guy goes, how much you got? I mean, you would think that there would be a price for hamburger, right? And everybody would pay sort of the same thing. If you didn't have enough, you'd go to a place with a cheaper one or whatever. The whole idea that colleges are the ones that issue this need. I mean, the idea that you and I have money, our kid's paying 70 and the other guy's paying 40.
Yeah.
I mean, there should just be a price.
Right.
And if somebody, the price to go to Vanderbilt should be, I'm going to say, not 65 list, with the average price being 40. It should just be the price. And if you and I want to go there and want to go get a loan, that should be a competitive business on its own. Whether the government's in it or not,
That's a tough one, because what you're implying is really a regressive tax, though.
No. What I'm saying is every university shouldn't be able to have, it's against the Clayton Act, for God's sake, to have 15 different prices depending on how much you think you can pay. Well, and they're not helping you at 40. They're screwing the guy at 65.
Okay, but, well, first of all, the Clayton Act has kind of disappeared for several decades.
But it's still there.
If you're going to resurrect it for college tuition, but...
No, I would resurrect it for medical stuff.
I agree. My point is that underprivileged families or families on the lower end of the economic spectrum would see fixed tuition rates as being regressive. There'd be a regressive tax, in essence. There should be some variability based on means when it comes to education. The price, or at least that's my opinion, that you can't fix that price. Because
I want to get to the same place you do, just in a different way. I don't want the people at Notre Dame deciding who's worthy and who's not. I don't want the people at Vanderbilt. I don't get to put my house up for sale, and if I think you got dough, it's $340, and the minute I don't think you do, I drop it to $275. And I'm saying it's not the way it works anywhere else in the economy. Why do we let these guys do that?
Yeah, well, that's a great point.
And why should it be tax deductible? What makes Notre Dame or Northwestern University of Illinois, they all of a sudden have 50 people, 100 people in this, quote, investment donation paying people? Well, how did we get to that? They're selling education. What is that guy doing anything? Yeah. I'm just saying, if you want to start from the beginning and put it back the way it ought to be, I'm not saying anybody's going to like this. You don't even like it, and you'd be on my team.
That's true.
In a sense, if we were to design it tomorrow, mm-hmm. why would we have anything like that involved? What do you do at Notre Dame? I sell education. How much is it? It's $50,000 a year or $40,000. Okay, fine.
Yeah, right.
I mean, what is it? What are people giving you money for free and taking it off on their taxes, and you having, you know, 150 people there that are making it? The highest paid guy at Notre Dame is the guy who runs the foundation. What's that? What is that got doing anything? I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I mean, I just say when these things become that way for so long, Jeff, you think it's okay, then you look at it and go, why is that okay? Why? Because I mean, I don't think you would like it. If all of a sudden you didn't have insurance and you needed an appendectomy, and Rush said it's $50,000 for you, but if you had insurance, it'd be $20,000. That's not cool. But education is, why should education be like that?
That's a good point. I agree completely.
You want to talk about a neat site you dragged up?
Well, it's something that we've covered in Luckbox magazine. Our listeners, by the way, you can always go get your free subscription to Luckbox magazine at luckboxmagazine.com. We were just named the best new business magazine of 2019.
And they connect through Stocks and Jocks, so you can go there.
Yeah, okay. Luckbox magazine /jocks yep. is for your free subscription. So,
and they have the best covers of any magazine out there.
Well, you're looking at the new one right now. So
every one of them is better. The one with the red one I thought was the best.
The red
was that
one,
like 2 months ago?
The red one, let's see.
Might have been 3 months ago. But they're all good, but that one I thought was really special.
That's right. Well, so what we covered recently, Predict It, because the magazine is basically about investing, probabilities. We look at everything through a lens of probability. And we were looking at the futures markets and some evolution in the futures market, and including political futures. So this is a site that we don't have an economic interest in, but it's certainly worth noting for your listeners. There's a site called PredictIt.org. And PredictIt is, as a result of the CFTC, Commodity Futures Trading Commission exemption, allows for legal wagering, political wagering. So they are binary options. If you go to PredictIt.org, you could pull up, like right now I'm looking at the 2020 Democratic nominee, Joe Biden, 27
hey, Jeff,
cents.
Jeff, real right. quick question, and yep. I know I'm interrupting like
please.
I always do rudely. The University of Iowa used to do something like that.
You
could never bet there, though, could you?
Well, you can. The Iowa election markets do allow for wagering, but they have a low cap. That's the only other U.S. base. For example, on foreign sites like Betfair, which is, you know, a bookie site basically for sports gambling.
Those bookie guys.
Yeah, you can bet on political wagering because it's legal in the UK. But in the US, it's either the Iowa Election Markets or PredictIt.org, both under exemptions. It's technically a non-for-profit. They cap the investment per market. So if you wanted to bet on Biden to be the nominee, he's 27 cents right now.
So not-for-profit, they're sort of like bingo.
Well, because they're doing it, it's being underwritten by universities, right. And they're using the data here to make some assumptions about crowdsourced predictive algorithms and mechanisms for predictive forecasting.
Wow, good stuff.
Yeah, so it is good stuff. But at the same time, it offers, you know, investors and gamblers and those in between the opportunity to kind of bet on political outcomes and all sorts of political outcomes. So, for example, right now, Biden would be 27 cents to win the nomination. It's a binary option, so it pays a dollar at expiration, but you can trade it. And it looks like the spreads are somewhere around a nickel.
So if he had a good Iowa, he went to 35, you could make your 8 cents.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
so it's like a trade on the floor. You don't have to hold it. It's like an option trade. You don't have to hold it to expiration.
Well, you don't. No, you can actually trade out of these, of course. So the Democratic caucus winner, by the way, I think this is one of the best trades on the board right now, is 38 cents for Buttigieg. And I think the history of Iowa suggests that Buttigieg is going to walk away a winner in Iowa. So that's still at 38 cents. You've got a lot of upside to it.
I can't imagine $1. Bloomberg doing 15 diners a day.
No.
I'm not so sure I'd want to do that either. Matter of fact, I'm sure I would.
Yeah,
oh, I bet you get an earful from all the ladies out there, but they don't hold back.
That's right. So it's an interesting platform. It's getting a lot of attention. It's going to get a lot. The volume is already significant. You can see, for example, there are 7.4 million shares traded right now on the Democratic caucus winner. So
you have to send them cash, or you open up an account with a credit card. How do you do it?
You can open up an account with a credit card.
So there is a grand in there. Is there a standard trade, or I want to put $27 down on Buttigieg, or does it have to be 54? Does it have to be a certain number?
I don't know. It looks. I've just started trading, so I can't speak to. I'm trying to understand where the efficiency is, and I think it's somewhere around $50 transactions that. Because, you know, I don't have a feel for the spreads yet and the liquidity of each of the underlying markets. But the trades that I've placed have been in 50 and $100.
Can you be a market maker in a system, or are they the market maker?
They're the market maker.
Okay.
But there are super traders. I've talked to some traders who trade it frequently. You can't day trade. It doesn't have that kind of volume. But there are people who are trading in and out on a weekly basis.
And when you say... He's 27% chance. Is the spread 26-27, or is it 24-28?
Yeah, it seems to be more like around a nickel right now. So that seems to be
that's a little rich.
One of the inefficiencies, and not to mention that they also take 10% out on the profit on the trade. So it's right. not, you know, it's not the tightest market by any means, but it's fun, right? And it's going to get a lot of attention.
10%, for God's sake. Well, the options exchange used to charge, 4 cents?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely rich. But but there are arb opportunities, I would think, here. You know, for example, what I'm looking at is some of the differences between the RCP at Real Clear Politics poll averages and look for kind of, you know, arbitrage or dislocated prices here that where the pricing doesn't seem to represent what the broader... you know, odds look like. So I think it's a pretty inefficient market that's ripe for some picking right now.
Well, it might be, I obviously know the man or anything like that, but I get the feeling, just by looking at him and watching him for the last however many years, that, what's his name, the mayor is going to run a retro sort of campaign. He's going to do commercials, he's going to tell people where he stands on issues. I don't think he's going to be insulting people on a stage like Trump does, and maybe other people are starting to do. I think it's going to be somewhat of a retro sort of thing. I'm the sober guy that we need right now, because look where we are.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that he'll probably, I mean, if it was me, I'd just get a column, you know, every 4 days and say, and pick an issue and say, here's where I am. Of course, that's not the style, because if somebody doesn't like you on an issue, they don't vote for you, but if they like you on 10 issues, it doesn't mean they'll vote for you, because they might not like you on the 11th, and even though you've got them 10-1, they won't vote for you. I mean, the voters, I think, are what made things negative. I mean, I'll give you an example, Jeff, and please disagree if you want. My dentist is this, old Catholic guy from the South Side, and so he votes for Bush versus Bush versus who did he beat the first time? It was Gore, right?
Yep.
And I voted for Gore. I wasn't real too big on either one of them. To me, they were the same person. Their dad was in public service their whole life, so there they were.
Right.
Then the second time, what? We had two guys that both were C students, and it laid naked in the coffin looking up at dead animals, right? out of 300 million people, those were the guys, whatever. But so he goes, did you vote for Bush? And I said, well, I really didn't. He goes, well, what do you mean? You're Catholic, and there's, the abortion issue. And I said, well, it's one of, I'm not a big fan of abortions, but I think it should be a secular issue. And, we're not going to go into that. But and then all of a sudden, one day he's all pissed off that we invaded Iraq. And I said, Jeff, as much as you and I bicker back and forth, I try not to give anybody any real grief. I said, Doc, when you're a single-issue voter, this is the kind of crap you got to put up with.
That's right.
And he looked me right in the face, and he goes, you're right. He goes, other than the fact that he's allegedly, more against abortion, everything he's done has been wrong. There you go. So you sort of got to be careful no matter what your issue is. How many people have been voted for just because they like guns? And God knows what the rest of the guy, he could be an axe murderer on the side, right? As long as he's for the Second Amendment, how many people will vote for that?
Right.
There's single issues that are, hot rod points, right? Or whatever. So, go ahead with this thing. How do you think this is going to play out in this next year? By the way, I don't even know this. The guy who said he was going to run against Trump from the Republican side, is he actually going to be in the primaries, or did he bail out?
Are we talking about Sanford or the other one? Sanford.
Well, one is the guy from Illinois that nobody likes, right?
Yeah, that's right. I forget his name.
But he's singularly not loved, but right. But was Sanford. But right now, is there anybody?
Sanford declared a candidate. I don't think any of that matters.
But he's not actually running in Iowa against Trump. We're going to be tromping around out there.
Yeah.
Well. Okay, I didn't think so.
Right. All right, by the way, there's also impeachment bets on this platform, too.
What are they saying on that?
Well, let's see. I'm pulling it up. Will Trump be impeached by the end of 2019? Yes is 44 cents.
I'm gonna bet you $1, my friend, although you probably won't take it. I'm going to say they come out with a censure.
Oh, I'll take that bet. I think politically they have to impeach. So you're on.
Okay. $1, Randolph.
$1 Randolph.
Exactly. Was it Randolph and Mortimer, right?
Exactly. Right.
which one would you rather be, man? Randolph or Mortimer? I don't know which one. I can't remember which one was which. Who's the guy who had the heart attack? And then he goes, screw him. Really, other brother.
Right.
Your brother, he's had a heart attack. Screw him.
All right. Well, we have that bet.
Yeah, all right. We got that bet. Actually, I heard somebody flash
that. So you believe censure, why?
Because they're going to do something. They're going to say that
they don't want to take the Democratic senator candidates off the campaign trail.
Yeah,
is that it?
Plus, I don't think they got a smoking gun. I think the cooler heads are going to prevail and say we brought up a whole bunch of dirty crap. The guy's a knucklehead, but by the way, there's nothing in here that's a high crime and misdemeanor. It's just bad judgment.
How about it?
I think I honestly believe that's where they're at.
Well, that's where we are.
Yeah.
But I doubt that.
You know who would be the most disappointed man on earth if that happened? It would be Trump.
Perhaps, right? Because, he had something to run against. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trump and Schiff, I think, would be equally disappointed.
All right, we're now down 26. Are we talking about last December? Is this what's driving this? It can't just be this trade thing. Nobody could have thought this thing was in this week. Or maybe they thought people were going to stop talking about it, but
it has to be the trade thing because December 15th was the date we were given for so long, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing else but the trade story.
You think it has to do with the expanding to Europe and Argentina and Brazil? I'd forgotten all about that. And there it is on the front burner again. 100% tariff on what? Cheese, champagne, and something else that
this is all about the farmers and electoral politics right now. I think, we've given billions in aid to the farmers to underwrite this trade war right now. And That's simply to, you know, secure red states. For
we got like 10
votes.
Seconds. I'm going to put one on you. We'll explain more next week. Out of that billions in aid, you think you know a farmer who got a check?
No. I just heard about a heat map that shows that most of the checks are ending up in Manhattan, believe it or not. I'd love to see that data. So I don't know if that's true, but there was a heat map as to where this this aid is going. And
sounds like an article for one of your terrific writers. At
how about it? Because I don't know of a lot of farms in Manhattan.
No. No, I say you are correct. SP Futures down 25.75. Jeff, thank you very much. Missed you, bud. Yep. Your guys are good, but we like the real thing. SP or Manzay Futures down 92 now. Ouch. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.